Hi there, welcome back to the Connected Classroom. My name is Rusty May. I'm a school counselor by trade and the creator of a social emotional literacy program called schooltoolstv.com. And this show is about teachers, for teachers, talking about what we're all looking forward to, what we're all concerned about, and what we're all trying to accomplish as we continue to lead the way in this effort to reopen our schools, get students back to some sort of normalcy, and at the same time realize that smartly and safely have to be the key. My guests today are Tammy Gruel, visiting from Montana, and Cheryl McElerney, who is a teacher in Illinois, and they'll be sharing some of our thoughts with us as well. I want to remind everyone, as I'm going to share the screen really quickly and kind of remind everyone about what the show is about and thinking about where we kind of where we come from at the from this show. And I'm going to share my screen. Don't be afraid to make mistakes. That's something that I tell the people all the time because I make them all the time. Share the screen. All right. But to give you a little feedback on the show and why it was designed and what we talk about here so you can share it with others as well, is the idea that we really are about teachers and realizing that, you know, that some of the challenges that you're facing going back. I know Cheryl's going to tell us that they're dealing with the staggered, kind of coming in, coming out. They're going to have 2 days on, 2 days off, and then everybody online on Friday. Tammy's going to talk about going back first and foremost. Everybody's going to go back together. And we have been hearing from major institutions, including the White House, talking about how important it is for students to get back involved in education. And we understand those concerns, and we understand how important it is for all of us to get back to a sense of normalcy. And these are really, really important flashpoints. But at the same time, and this is an online petition that really kind of talks a lot about the show, what we think about is that teachers need to be considered in this process, and they need to be listened to, they need to be heard, and they also need to, to really kind of lead the way, because what's most important right now is that the educators that are going back, including support staff, feel safe. And also the social emotional component of the connection being more important than any of the content pieces, and that we need the entire community to deal with this issue. Obviously, adults have to go back to work. Students need to get back to school. All of these issues are real and they're important. And we're here to talk about those things today. So I'd like to welcome in Tammy and Cheryl to talk with us today. Let's see, I'll get Cheryl unmuted here in a second. Tammy, you there?
I am.
Thank you very much for being with us today. Just want to say hello and thank you. Cheryl, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Great. Thank you so much for being here. I'm going to go ahead and open up the mics of some other people that have joined us today to see if they want to share anything with us. Teddy G, you want to join in real quick?
Hey, Rusty, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for being here again.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
How are things in New York?
Things are going well. As of right now, I think I have one of the lowest COVID cases in the nation. We're still in the process of reopening. Today, the school that I work at, SUNY Geneseo, currently has a town hall meeting from 3 to 4:30. So that will allow a lot of faculty, staff, students, parents to sort of address their concerns for the reopening. We do start school a month from July 31st. So August 31st is when we plan on starting classes. I guess with the town hall meeting, we're going to see how professors plan on either having a hybrid style class or either just having classes solely online or having it back on campus. But overall, things are going in the right direction.
All right. Well, thanks for being here as always. Amber, do you want to join in today? How about Naini, do you want to say hello?
Sure. It rhymes with rainy.
Oh, Naini.
Yes.
Okay.
What would you like to know?
Are you an educator? Where are you from? Tell us a little about yourself.
Okay, I'm from Whitby, Canada. I've been teaching IB for quite a few years. But right, IB is the International Baccalaureate. But right now I'm in a small, very private Canadian school small rooms and a maximum of 15 students. I'm concerned about the fact that nobody has told me what I'm going to teach and what are the, you know, the procedures that are going to be in effect soon. So I have no idea. And I'm not planning my lessons. I don't know if it's going to be hybrid or so I'm just in this, you know, nebulous zone right now. Yeah.
How old are your kids? Are they high school age, 16, 18?
They are middle school kids, so 13, yeah, 11 to 13.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have any sense of when they might tell you what the plan is?
Probably very close to when school opens, because they're also chatting with the parents and asking them about what they feel. Do they want to send their kids to school or not? And I know that some of our students, they're both parents work in the healthcare system. That's my worry, because sometimes when these kids are sick, the parents are so busy, they just send them to school. And we have three or four students whose parents work in the healthcare system. Yeah.
Are you concerned about your own health?
Of course I am. I mean, right. You know, like when you're in the plane, they say, look after yourself if something goes wrong, and then look after other people. So you have to look after yourself, and then, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of the mantra of the show when we started back in March, was you have to, you know, put on your own seatbelt first, or, you know, you put on your own oxygen first, the exact same analogy. And so that's a big part of it. So I hear what you're saying, and I really appreciate you being here with us today.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Roseanne, are you there? Do you want to say hello?
Hello?
Roseanne, are you there?
Hello?
Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm from Albuquerque, New Mexico, teaching public school. This year, I'm kindergarten and first grade. They call it cross cat here, which means I get a little bit of everything. And right now, my caseload, from what the district said, is 6 kids, but it's kindergarten, so who knows who's gonna walk in the door. On Monday, we start our week of professional development, and then on the 13th, we start online, and we're gonna be online until at least after Labor Day, and then we could possibly go to a hybrid model after that. It just depends on, you know, what the governor says, and then what the district decides after that.
Okay.
And so.
So what are your
special ed and younger kids? I should be one of the first group of people to have kids actually come back.
All right. Are you? And what are your concerns? What are your thoughts about that, going back face to face?
I want to go back face-to-face as soon as possible.
Okay. All right. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Demetria, are you there? Miss Johnson? I don't know if I pronounced your first name right. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. Where are you visiting us from?
I'm visiting from Clayton County, Georgia. I am a library assistant, youth service assistant.
All right. And so why did you choose to be with us today? What are you looking for?
Well, I'm just looking for helpful tips if parents should ask any questions about, you know, the education for their young children. I just saw the topic and I just thought it would be interesting.
Great. Well, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
How about Katie? Katie, are you there? Katie, can you hear me?
I'm in trouble. Oh, here we go. Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm a school psychologist in Michigan. A little bit, really close to the airport in Detroit.
Okay.
And I'm really concerned about the teachers, and I saw the topic, and I wanted to get an idea maybe of how I might be able to provide some support, even if it's giving like 20 minutes to take your mask off or anything I can do. So I'm just here to listen and learn.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for being with us. I really appreciate it. Eleanor, do you want to say hello?
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm in Salisbury, Maryland, on the eastern shore of Maryland between the Chesapeake Bay and the Atlantic Ocean.
Yes, ma'am.
And I am a retired public school teacher, and I am working for Salisbury University, working with teacher interns as they do what we would have called our student teaching.
You've been with us before. I remember you joined us a couple weeks ago.
Yes, I did. And I'm concerned how I will be helpful to them in this environment because it's as new to me as it is to them. And I know they're concerned. One of the young women said to me, "Will I even have a classroom?"
Right.
Yeah. I didn't quite know how to answer her.
Well, we got some expert teachers here today. They're going to talk about that with us. So thanks for being with us, Eleanor.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Professora Nowak, are you with us?
Hey. Morning.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, fine, thanks. I'm in Massachusetts, Woburn, Massachusetts. I'm a Spanish teacher, that's why profesora.
Okay.
I'm Sandra. And I feel like whatever happens, it's like the time for us, the teachers, to try to collect, you know, as many tools as possible to help our students. And I like the title of connected, no, to feel that connection, even if we have to go, online, but that they can feel that the teachers, we are with them, no? With the students, and at the same time, behind the students, the parents, so really a community. So
yes,
why?
That's what we need right now.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Let's see, we have M. Beckham. You want to say hello?
Yes, I work at the Vigo County Public Library in Terre Haute, Indiana. I'm just looking for ideas where we can still serve our community in this situation.
Great, are you guys going back face-to-face, do you know yet?
We are, currently we are kind of open in a limited capacity. You can come in and use the computers, which is where I work, and you can come in and check out books, but we try to keep people from staying too long and exposing themselves and others to danger.
Okay. Well, thank you for being with us.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Gigi Johnson, are you there?
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you. Yes. Just listening in, my first time listening here, and just wanted to see what everybody else's voices are saying about what's going on.
Okay. Where are you located?
Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Okay. Great. Are you an educator?
I work at a community college here, and I am an educator. I taught third grade and high school. But
great.
Now I work online in the distance learning department at the college.
All right. Thanks for being with us. So everybody that's out there, please raise your hand anytime you need to join the conversation. Please just put a hand up and we'll talk about it. Cheryl and Tammy, I kind of want to start this thing with an article that I read recently about the idea of looping. And I know, Tammy, you and I talked about this earlier this summer. How much easier it was to go into online learning because you had been with your kids for 6 or 8 months. And the concept of looping was, why not just take a step back and let everybody go back to their same teacher, let them relearn the material that they had already learned, let them go back, let them start over, make it a little easier on the teacher and the students. And I'd love to get your feedback on that because I found that interesting. Tammy?
Hi. Okay, so my feedback would, I'm a fifth grade teacher. So when they leave me, they go to a different school, they go to middle school. So I think socially that probably wouldn't be very wise for them to have to go back to elementary school. But I could definitely see it in the younger grades. I would agree with that. I definitely will have to start probably towards the end of fourth grade with my new class. So for sure, I'm going to have to pick up where they left off. Luckily, we were in the last of this. I cannot imagine doing online right now. I feel for those that have to start that way. I don't even know how I'd wrap my head around that. It would definitely be easier if you were going online to have the same teacher because the expectations and relationships would be there. I would definitely love that. But since we're going back face-to-face, I'm not too terribly worried because I know a lot of my fourth graders coming up. So I guess that's my thought.
Cheryl, what do you think about that idea of trying to and obviously there'd be log jams. There'd be log jams at kindergarten, log jams at fifth grade, log jams at eighth grade. But what do you think about that concept?
I personally like that idea. I kind of wish we had thought about it. One thing I did see that I wish that our school had thought about was even letting the kids that were in my class last year, letting me say hello, goodbye, and maybe walking them to their fifth grade class. Well, that's not going to happen, but I just thought, you know, that would have been a nice, sweet little bit of closure, and we're not even getting that. So, yeah, I would like to start with the group who knows my expectations, and we already had a class family and that kind of thing. That would have been a lot easier because I'm really nervous about how to build a community. And then if we do get to the point where, because we're doing every other day, what happens when I put them all together? Will the two groups mesh? How do I get them to mesh between? I've toyed with the idea and thought about, partner projects where one of the partners is at school and one of them is online, just to try to build some of those relationships. But I'm really struggling with that right now. So I kind of like the idea of the loop. And since I'm fourth grade, that wouldn't have been such a, because our building is just fourth and fifth grade. So that's kind of an interesting concept in itself.
Well, the research has been really, really positive in schools that have been able to do that. I think it was Roseanne that was saying she was a K-1 teacher, but the research on students that have had the same teacher 2 years in a row prior to any of this situation has been incredibly positive for the majority of the kids, both academically and socially, because of the ability of the teacher to really figure out the expectation of the students, but also for the students to understand the teacher and what their expectations are. Tammy, you're going back face-to-face, so you're going to start. I mean, you can share some of your ideas. Tammy and I have known each other for 15 years, and she's a social-emotional literacy master in terms of the way that she organizes her classes. But, I know Teddy G's in college. I know Miss Johnson, I think, was in college as well. But all the stuff that you talk about, but some of the things that you're going to incorporate from the very beginning. So let's assume you're going back face to face and then all of a sudden we have a spike in this. What are your concerns, Tammy, going in, the things that you need to do immediately as quickly as possible in order to get that relationship created?
Absolutely. I first and foremost, there will be a lot more relationship building in the beginning. We usually take about a week and then we kind of filter in the academics slowly, but that's not going to be the case here. These kids are going to come back with fears, anxiety, those types of things, and you're going to need to put procedures in place. Kids love routines. So once they learn the routine of wearing the mask, hand washing as soon as you come in, staying away from others, how to work with a partner when you're 6 feet apart, those types of things, they're just going to become routine, but they're going to take the practice of it. So I'm going to develop that as soon as possible. The other piece I'm going to develop as soon as possible is the online component, so that if something were to happen, if they have to go online at home, they know where to go, they know their passwords, they know how to find that, they know how to email, they know how to get on Google Classroom, those types of things. So those are going to be my two main priorities of a first, 2 to 3 weeks I'm picturing in my head of just calming the fears and just kind of getting a new routine. This is the new normal. We don't know how long it's going to last. And so we just have to prepare for it.
Well, I really appreciate that. And I also think what's interesting too, is that when a lot of people think of SDL, they think of soft skills, and what you're talking about are concrete, real stuff. Let's figure out what our passwords are. Let's figure out how to get online. Let's make sure. I mean, it's the hardest thing that I have to do right now is try to communicate with my 83-year-old dad, because trying to get him onto WhatsApp or try to get him onto an app, you kind of have to get it down to a point where the kids can understand it. Not only the kids, but the parents as well, right? Because that's the situation, is where the parents are incredibly frustrated with the level of technology and what they have to accomplish. So that's, everything you're talking about is really, really practical, common sense stuff. It's not like, oh, how was your summer? What'd you do? And I mean, this is sort of a situation more like a triage, where we're dealing with mental health issues. We're dealing with fear. We're dealing with all this stuff. And what you're saying, what I'm hearing you say, is that what we have to take care of is trying to calm all that and really get them to a place where they feel confident in us.
Absolutely. And I think too, like my perspective is going to be, you guys are part of history. So there is a positive to this. You guys are making history here. And so I just want to focus on their part of the world, like them being part of this world. And in Montana, we're a little different because we're not seeing the same things as the rest of the world is, but their world has been impacted the exact same. And they have relatives all over that are being impacted the same way. So I think it's important, I don't really, the parent part, I'm not concerned about teaching them how to get on things, because they're not going to get it. I need the kids to be able to do that. And fortunately, I work with fifth graders, so they're independent. Yeah.
One of the things, and Cheryl, I'll ask you this too, because you're a fourth grade teacher, but one of the things that I find interesting about a lot of the ideas that are being rolled out by districts or by states or by, even the country itself, some of this stuff works really well. Like I read an article today about doing outdoor education. Why shouldn't we just take everybody outside? It's easier, it's safer, and all these, and it makes sense, right? But except for kindergarten kids, or except for, I can remember being in 12th grade. If I went outside to do a lesson, I didn't learn anything. All I did was stare at whoever I was interested in the class, and that kind of thing. But you're going to a 2-day hybrid model. And my question to you is this just putting a tremendous amount of more work on you? Because not only do you have to create in-person lessons, but you also have to create online lessons. So what is your workload like?
It's doubled. We're going to, the fourth grade team is going to meet this afternoon to try to figure that out. We were told that, no, you can't live film. So how do we do this? When do we do this? There is a lot of questions. There are a lot of questions that I don't know the answers to yet. And that's kind of scary. Yeah. Do I have to do this by myself? Do I have to hold my phone and record? Will there be a good sound system so they can hear me? I have a lot of questions. Am I going to get the equipment I need if I need it? Schools don't have a lot of money. And we've had to spend a lot of money on cleaning and extra supplies.
Go ahead.
Well, and just trying to get through rumors and things, that's a struggle. And because Sandwich is a small town and things just fly around, whether it's truth or not. And it almost becomes harder to do that. We were going to not have parents have the option to keep their kids at home the whole time. They could remove them and homeschool them, but the state said, no, you have to provide an online education for these families who choose to keep their kids at home. So that adds a whole nother layer that isn't even part of the hybrid.
Well, before I follow up on that, Jeff, thank you for your comment. I appreciate you joining us today, and I agree with you. That should be exactly the thing. He said face-to-face and online lessons must be the same. I agree with you, although trying to put an online lesson, if you're going to try and video yourself for 45 minutes doing a face-to-face lesson and then expect kids to watch that, that's just not going to happen. And so you have to definitely shorten that part of it, and that makes it really challenging. But you talked about rumors and stuff like that, and I would ask Cheryl and Tammy both, you know, there's a lot of people out there that feel like the mask is irrelevant. They feel like that they shouldn't have to wear it. They feel, I've even heard it's my God-given right not to wear one. Ugh. So what happens if a kid comes into the classroom? And I will also offer that to Katie. I think Katie is in Detroit or around Detroit in Michigan. The kids, a lot of people have said the kids who should come to school should be the ones who need it the most. The ones who are, they either have learning disabilities and they need the teaching support. They're getting food there. They're getting the kind of, their home environment is not safe. And so the idea is we need to bring kids to school who really need it, and kids who have parents who can afford it can stay home. And so my question to both of you is, and I'll start with Cheryl, what if a kid starts playing with his mask, or what if he coughs in your face on purpose, or what if that becomes the tool by which they act out? And then at that point, you know, who's there to help? Because like you said, Cheryl, there's not a lot of money floating around right now.
That's just it. And we have decided, you know, we are wearing masks. And I've even, and see right now it's a rumor that if the teacher doesn't wear a mask, she gets docked a day's pay. So, or he, I want them to wear a mask. I have underlying conditions. I even bought myself a face shield just in case. But I feel like that's also another barrier that I have to get through to make the connections. So I am going to add that comment. And behaviors, yeah. What about that bullying behavior, that kid who won't stay 6 feet apart and does that? You know, what's the school's responsibility? And what's my responsibility? And will we be given good guidelines for kids who step out of line? I don't know.
Well, that's what I hear in your voice, and that's what really, you know, drives me, and one of the reasons, the only reason I do this show is for that very purpose. Tammy, your thoughts? I know Montana is a very live-free state, and I appreciate it more than anything. It's probably the biggest thing I miss about the United States is driving around Montana. But, you know, what's going to happen if the kids make the decision that, you know, hey, my mom or dad or grandfather or whatever said that this is not important?
All right. So I have already, I've put this to peace with myself. I'm not going to be the mask police. I'm just not. And so we've done summer school in Montana now for all summer with kindergarten, first grade, and high school. And they've kept them on. They've played with them. They're going to. My son was in the hospital and he had to wear a mask, and I turned and looked at him and it was on his head, and he's a freshman in high school. So, I mean, it's going to happen. And it's just, that's what I'm saying. It's just the teaching of it. You're going to have to expect, and literally I'm walking through the door because we do have the option to go online. So it's a dual platform in Montana. You can go to school or you can go online, and you have to sign a 1-year commitment. You're not going to go bounce in between. So if you're coming back, you're coming back. If you're going online, you're going online. And I've chosen to go back. And knowing that, literally, I visualize on the front of my school, enter at your own risk. And that's a choice I've made. And that's a choice I've made for my own two children, for them to enter their school. I know, I guarantee that they're not going to do it all the time. They're not. Even as adults, I can't keep my mask on. I have to pull it down and breathe every once in a while, and it gets too much and things like that. And then you have lunch and you're all taking it off and you're all breathing the same air. And then you have PE and you're in, the mask is off. And then you have football and basketball and things like that. You're going to have to get in the mindset of, if you choose to go face to face, which I've done, then you enter at your own risk. Because it's
but
not,
you're talking about a choice that Montana gave you. Cheryl, it doesn't sound like you had that choice.
No, I don't have that choice.
Right. So you're somebody with pre-existing conditions who's being told that you have to go back. And one of the things that broke my heart that I read this morning was about a teacher who decided to resign as of yesterday, based on the fact that the parents who were telling me that I was God, you know, I was the God's gift to education in March and April of last year, are now telling me that I am an evil, terrible person because I have chosen not to go back to school. But she's somebody who has pre-existing conditions. She has two young children who both have asthma, and she's decided not to go back, but she had to retire because she didn't have a choice. So yeah. I'm not sure where the, you know, that part of it, I appreciate what Montana said and gave you an option in that regard. But in a lot of other states, they're basically saying it's your job to come back.
Well, they, in Illinois or in my district, they asked the parents what they wanted. The parents voted for the hybrid, didn't really ask the teachers what they wanted until the parents had come in and they had sort of set up the three plans, but there was never an option for me to do anything but teach my class.
Yeah, and I think that's one of my concerns about this, you know, going in terms of that. And there is no answer. As I said, the mental health issues, the long-term mental health issues of affecting the kids and those kinds of things, and the idea of transmission with younger kids being less, less challenging than with older kids and all those kinds of things. But these are things that I think teachers are really thinking about. And I wonder, Cheryl, with you in terms of what you're dealing with right now, how are you trying to take care of yourself, thinking about Nanny said earlier about you have to buckle your own seatbelt first. What are you doing to take care of yourself in this situation?
Well, I'm limiting my outside contacts with other people. Right now, I'm only going to school. I did go to the grocery store the other night, but other than that, I am really kind of keeping it to a minimum because that's how I'm taking care of me right now.
How about you, Tammy? What are some things that you're doing to take care of yourself? I mean, I know that you're doing this. You're a dedicated teacher. I've known that from the very beginning, and I don't think that you're in the target range by any stretch, but I would say that there must be some personal concerns. What are you doing to take care of yourself?
Yeah, and I feel like a jerk saying stuff because I'm not at risk. So I have a different mindset, but like I have an aunt and I have, you know, Zach's parents, my husband's parents are both elderly and have compromised immune. But I think it's just become routine now. And so when I go see my aunt, then I put on a mask and I stay 6 feet away, or she stands on her balcony and I call. But I've chosen to live. I'm not living in fear anymore. And so it's been too long. I honestly feel like by now in our small community, I've had it. I mean, there's no way I haven't had it with the contacts that I've had. And so I hate to be one of those people, but I'm choosing to move forward. I can't live in fear anymore. And that's the kind of message I'm going to send these kids that are choosing to come back to school, is that we will be safe. We will have our precautions and our procedures in place, and we will do what people ask us and what the law requires, and to keep everyone safe, but we're going to move forward. We cannot just stand in a standstill forever. So that, I feel horrible saying that when I know people are out there that are different than I am.
And I don't think horrible or hate or any of those things are the appropriate words. You're in a different situation, and that's the challenge of the American education system, or any country, Canada, for example, or any other country that is represented on this call today. The problem is that when you're dealing with a wide variety, say, for example, you're in Chicago, you're in Los Angeles, you have significant issues, you have significant children who are, you know, and think for, you know, I was reading something the other day that was talking about the idea of parents who are going out and creating micro schools. And what they're doing is they're basically hiring a teacher, or not even a teacher in some cases, just a tutor, to come into their home, and they have four or five kids that they feel comfortable with, who are friends of their kids, and they bring them into their home, and they sit there and they provide them with the educational feedback that they need on a daily basis. So I'm not concerned about the kids who are rich. I'm not concerned about the kids who are whose parents have means. My concern is that the kids whose parents are struggling right now, whose parents have lost their jobs, or who are, you know, dealing with different situations. Are we looking at an education system that's going to become bottom up in terms of the fact that the kids who are coming to school will be the ones who don't have any other alternatives? Like, that's my concern. And it's not about you being good, bad. And I appreciate your thought about wanting to move forward. And I agree with it 100%. But what do you think about that idea that if the kids have means that they're going to, like, I know that I work with the Montana Small Schools Association, and there's a ton of small schools. There's about 100 small schools around Montana. And I've been talking to teachers all summer, and they're getting a lot of people from California and people coming from other states who are like, if my school does not go back face-to-face, I'm going to bring my kid here. And they only have 8 kids in the classroom. So obviously these things are not a big challenge, but what about the inequity of education? What about some of the other things that are going on that are going to be affected by this? Tammy?
I couldn't agree with you more, Rusty. I've thought of that myself, is how far are the kids going to get behind, which will then lead to social emotional issues. Because online teaching is not the same. As well as my class did, and they rocked. And I'll say, I work in a low poverty school with, you know, low parents and things like that. So I understand what you're saying. And even though I'm in Montana and I'm not in LA, I would venture that to say it's the same. Lots of drug, meth, those types of things. And my students did very well. However, they didn't learn. They did not learn like they would have learned in a classroom. And so at what point do you say that the risk is more danger of their educational future and their social emotional health? You know, and I will say, watching kids, my own 2 kids' social emotional health deteriorate was probably one of the hardest things I ever had to watch.
I agree.
I would much rather have a child that struggles academically than struggles social emotionally when they're very healthy and they drop and bottom out. That was extremely difficult for me to understand. And then being a teacher and watching my kids online, seeing them disconnect. And you and I talked about this before, is my, when my class was on Zoom, and this was a really chatty class, they would not talk to each other. They wouldn't talk at all. They didn't know how to connect on a social level. Their entire social media being is typing, not seeing. And so it was weird. At the end of the year, I had a barbecue, and they all came out when the governor lifted us to phase 2, and they all stood 6 feet apart. Nobody talked to each other. They had no idea how to connect, and they, even their best friends, they did not connect. I finally sat them in a circle, and we passed around their yearbooks and started signing them, and they started finally to talk to each other. And by the end of the night, they were kind of back to normal. But I really do fear, Rusty, academically, but more socially, how the hybrid, somebody said earlier about not getting groups to connect. I see that. I already saw that in the 3 months I taught online.
Well, and I don't mean to be funny here, but you know, I can remember any junior high school dance that I ever went to. It was pretty difficult to get anyone to talk to each other. So that's part of it. But I agree with you. My 4- and 5-year-old, you know, it was really, really challenging. And now it's harder to get them to interact with kids. Like if we're at the beach or something and we see someone from their class and they say hello, my kids aren't reacting the same way they used to. Like they'd be really quick to open up and go say hi. And now they're a little standoffish about that. And it's really substantial, but I agree with what you're saying. But like I said, I think what my concern more is about the economic disconnect that's going to happen, because now we're looking at a financial crisis that unlike anything we've ever seen. You know, maybe they talk about the Great Depression, but in terms of numbers and everything else, but then we're also looking at the fact that public school could then become basically just kind of a place where kids go who don't have any other alternatives. And so maybe the face-to-face part of it, there's benefits and the social-emotional part of it and that. But what happens to the teacher? What happens to the teacher who is dealing with these kids who have significant challenges, who have real hard times? I mean, don't you think the caseload part of this, Cheryl? I mean, when you think about, you know, who's going to end up coming back to your class, I mean, do you expect that there's going to be a percentage of your kids who just stay home and who decide that they don't want to come back? And those are the kids who are probably the ones who have the most resources available to them?
I really do believe that. I think those are the ones that probably will stay home. I'm wondering about, we have a large Hispanic population, and I'm wondering about those multi-generational homes, if parents will keep those kids home who need to be in school for ELL and things. I'm wondering if they'll keep them home for fear of their older generation in the home with them.
That was one of the questions. I'm concerned about that. That was one of the questions we asked earlier and on a show about 2 weeks ago with the demographics of who's being affected the most by this, that when you look at the racial, when you look at communities of color and you look at the racial disparity of how this disease has affected people, that when you look at multi-generational homes and you look at homes where you have kids who are being taken care of primarily by grandparents, what you're looking at is normally kids of color. And so the idea that the other thing we're bringing into this school year is the Black Lives Matter movement and all of the other things that come with that and the racial equality piece. And it almost seems like, okay, the kids who have to come back are the ones who are experiencing the most challenges in their home environment. And oftentimes those are the same kids that we're talking about trying to encourage in this new, racially sensitive environment. So the challenges facing teachers, and again, I want to come back to this. This isn't about anything other than teachers. The challenges facing you, Cheryl, and you, Tammy, are tremendous in my opinion. And Cheryl, you said earlier that you didn't feel like you'd been listened to, you hadn't really been talked to by your district at all. Tammy, was your district interested in what the teachers had to say?
Absolutely, yeah. Our superintendent's been on 3 times a week Facebook Live, keeping us in the loop, and lots of surveys going out. And what do you think of this? What do you think of that? Tonight he's unrolling the specific plan of what will it look like. And then tomorrow morning we have a teachers meeting for feedback on that and any other questions we might have. So I will say that it's been amazing. He has done an amazing, amazing job. And I know not everyone's that lucky, but he really feels for the teachers that are compromised. And that's why he created the online academy, because he didn't want to just say either come back or don't have a job. So now those people have an option. They can be the ones teaching. They get the priority. They get the priority. If you have a compromised immune system, then you come first when it comes to deciding who teaches online. And so it's not going to be, you know, we have a strong union, and our union backed us saying these teachers are not doing both. That's a period. They're not going to do both. And so that we were lucky in that route in Montana. So.
Okay. I just want to make, and this is, again, this show's not to depress. This show is to create conversation, and everyone that's out there, please raise your hand if you have a comment. I know we're getting great comments in the chat. Thank you so much, Roseanne. I've heard so many people have quit their jobs, and this is the point that I want to make right now. 18% of United States educators, and I think Canada is probably similar. Where I am in Portugal, it's actually more like 60%. 18% of educators are in the target environment. 27% of administrators are in the target environment. In 2008, when the economy crashed and we had the real estate issues that we had in the United States that went worldwide, we didn't see the full effect of that until 2011. 2011 is when it really hit rock bottom and we really started to see it. Do you think teachers are going to start quitting? Do you think, and I know I'm a California educator by trade originally. We simply can't get people. So if anyone gets sick or if anyone decides to quit or anything like that, do you see teachers and administrators just throwing up their hands and just quitting, Cheryl?
I hope not, but I was seeing that happening with all the testing before COVID. So I really would not like to see that, because I really do think education is a wonderful profession, but it wouldn't surprise me if it happened.
Tammy?
I do. And honestly, if I would have been forced to go online again, that would have been a hard decision for me. That's not what I'm born to do. So I think the profession has changed. I don't know if it's temporary or if it's forever, but I think people are going to be faced with hard choices as far as what their social emotional health can handle. I've never worked harder as a teacher than I did in those 3 months. And,
yeah.
And being a parent and a teacher at the same time, it's more than a lot of us can handle. And watching kids suffer, you know, and knowing kids like mine that are probably being abused and in very stressful homes,
yeah.
that takes a toll on my little teaching heart when I can't see them every day. So if they yep. didn't show up on Zoom at my morning meeting every day, it didn't do well for me. And I didn't have patience for my own kids when they needed help on their homework. And by 5 o'clock, I was done. And then I had to start with my son. And so I absolutely think teachers are going to have to make a hard choice. And they're going to have to be committed to that choice, because I don't see it changing anytime in the future, real soon.
What can we do? I mean, what's the positive that can come out of this? Because I think, you know, I've been making the statement that since the beginning of the show, we started right after the close down in March, and I've been talking about it ever since. The idea that the education system that we currently have in the United States was created around the Industrial Revolution. It was created around the idea of educating kids to get in line and to be a part of the economic reality that was the manufacturing component of the Industrial Revolution. None of that stuff applies anymore. I mean, I think one of the articles I read recently about a teacher quitting, and she said she's quitting because everybody's been telling her that STEM is so important, and she felt like that people weren't really paying attention to the science of the disease or the science of the virus in terms of reopening the schools, and she was really affected by that. So maybe we're looking at a window of opportunity where we can recreate education, and I think a big component of that right now is understanding how do we take care of kids for 8 to 10 hours a day, because parents need to work. So that's a big part of it, especially if you're talking about people who can't telecommute. And I'm fortunate, I can telecommute. There's a number of people who can do that sort of thing, and you can take care of your kids. And although that's a challenge, like Tammy was saying, in and of itself, what are some of the positives that could come out of this? Cheryl?
That would be so amazing to, yes, be able to say. One thing that I think helped our district was the CARE Act, because we're able to be one-to-one with a computer where the kids maybe had an hour a week that they could be online. Now they can sit down and have their own, and they're going to be assigned their own Chromebook next week. So in that respect, we've jumped a huge step forward so that they can learn the technology that they will need as they get older, because they live in it. They're, you know, they're natives, where I feel a little bit like a dinosaur. So we made that huge step, and that's a positive in my book. I also think that I'm kind of excited about the smaller number of kids at a time, just to connect with that bunch. And I think that will be exciting. I am concerned about putting them all together, but I'll keep working on that. So I think there's some really good positive things that can really happen. We're also switching to standards-based grading, which I think is going to be much more empowering, because not everything's going to have to be graded, that the kids can be more responsible for goal setting and things like that. And I feel like that opens the door to more of the social-emotional learning components that we've had to put on the, honestly, sometimes on the back burner. I've been very thankful for your minutes in the morning, and we just kind of stop and talk about All right, that was a great idea. What can you do about whatever the topic of the day is? And so I think some of those discussions have led to some class discussions that were phenomenal. And just so many things I think we can really move forward. And so that part makes me excited that kids can maybe drive their own education a little bit more. Okay, here's something you need to learn. How are you going to learn that? Can you negotiate a book talk with me, a choice that makes sense to learn that topic? I think there's some really good things that could happen.
Awesome. Thank you. Tammy?
I think the world is now involved in education. And
yeah.
So I think that's a positive. I think we need worldwide internet. I think I've thought that for a long time. It shouldn't be, depending on your status. That should just be kind of a given, like heat and those things in our day and age. And I hope that they pursue that. I know there's a lot of, like our governor is pushing for that type of thing. So that if it happens again, then everybody's ready and has the same playing field. Because that was difficult in the beginning. I think as far as education, I think we have parents on our side, even though they're mad right now because they're frustrated. But I think we have them more on our side. And to be funny, I don't think I'll have to do a teacher parent conference for at least 5 years because I'm not going to say anything today. I don't know. But I think that I think the value of the teacher came back. I feel like they got a dose of what that life is like. And also I won't be assigning homework, to be honest. And I used to be a big pusher of learning time management at home and those types of things, preparing. You know what? When you're done with the day, there is something to be said about being a parent done at the end of the day. And so I think we need to value that family time more. I think that's what came out of it for me as a positive, is to keep in mind that, not everybody's workday is mine. So I worked from 5 a.m. till 11 at night to accommodate parents that had different, because we have a lot of shift work in our community. And so I had to be available, and not that I had to, but I wanted to be available to that. And so I have to remember that not everybody's home to do homework in those types. So right. It kind of opened my eyes as to see their perspective of that. And I'd heard that, but not really lived it. So, I think too, something that's come out positive is people are more kind. And I know the world isn't very good right now, but what I've seen is people are more kind. They're more patient. They're more, they don't like what they have to do, but they understand it for the most part. And of course there's those that don't, and they stand out the most. But for the majority, I've seen so many good people through this whole chaos of this. So that's been reassuring for my soul as a teacher.
Well, the ones that stand out the most, it still reminds me of an elementary school classroom, right? It's that kid who needs the attention. It's still, they could be 50 or 60 years old, and they're still the ones who need the most attention, and they're still doing it. So I can't thank you guys enough. I mean, I really appreciate it. I hope you guys will come on. I can't say guys, that's wrong, right? I say you all can come on to a future show. Now I'm showing my age or whatever, but I hope you come on again and talk to us. If anyone that's online right now have a question would like to raise, I'll be happy to open your mic. We'd love to hear from you. As Cheryl, I'd like you and Tammy to kind of think about your final thoughts before we go on. Katie, thank you for that. Thank you for being here. I really appreciate it. Good luck in Detroit. I know as a school psych, you must be really concerned about the students as well as the teachers, and that's amazing. So good luck. I know it's a difficult situation that you're in. Anyone else? Thank you, Nani. I really appreciate it as well. Thanks for visiting. Hope everything is well in Canada and your school opens. Katie, thank you as well. Teddy G, you always have something positive to say. You want to finish us off?
Yeah, I appreciate the guest speakers today. And I know everybody's going through a rough patch or a tough time. So I know despite what we hear on the news and what we see in our communities and what we, you know, watch or listen or view on social media, that it's hard to be optimistic, but at the same time, you know, we do have people that we have to cater to. And I appreciate all the teachers, staff, faculty across the country. And I just hope that things do get better. It is really a political situation at this point. It's really out of our hands, but we have to try to at least be optimistic to the students that we do cater for. So I hope that, you know, people do use this platform to, you know, voice their concerns, but also find some optimism at some point during these rough times.
Thanks, Teddy. I really appreciate it. You should send me your email. I should have you on as a guest as well. You're the best guest that I've had. One of the best guests I've had so far. All right, everyone else, thank you for your comments. I really appreciate it. Thank you for everything you're doing. It's amazing. And what we heard today, you could hear the care and the concern in the voice of the teachers that were with us today. Tammy and Cheryl obviously are in different situations, but the idea of going back, the idea of going back concerned, all of the stuff that's there, it's all real. Your concerns are real. Your feelings need to be real to you, as well as your thoughts need to be heard. And I appreciate you coming here today. You can become a member of our show on learningrevolution.com. Join us again. Teddy's been here, I think, almost every week since we started, and I really appreciate it. It's wonderful. I can definitely make the chat available, and the recording will be available online as well if you want to share it. So, Cheryl, final thoughts?
It's a new year. It's an exciting time, and we just need to go in with a full heart and inspire and be creative and allow the kids to dream.
Awesome. Tammy?
I would just say this is what we signed up for. This is from, you know, when we used to play in our basement and we used to be Mr. and Mrs. Who playing school. this definitely was not what we ever thought would happen, but This is it. They need us. They need us more now than ever. And I'm excited to be their stable rock. So I'm just ready to get in there before they change their minds. So hopefully we start soon. So.
All right. Thank you both so much. Thank you all for that are out there for visiting with us today and for all you're doing for the kids in your care. We'll look forward to seeing you next time on the Connected Classroom. Thank you very much. Have a great day.